Welcome, everyone, to a Baseball America podcast. Along with Aaron Fitt, I'm John Manuel. Thank you so much for the download on iTunes and for joining us at baseballamerica.com. We're coming to you sponsored this week by MLB Network, which will be broadcasting the draft June 7th and the 9th, and our own Jim Callis will be joining MLB Network for the broadcast of the draft. And we thank MLB Network for their sponsorship, and we're happy to have a new sponsor here on the Baseball America podcast. And again, DeMarini sponsored us all spring. We thank them for doing that as well. And Aaron, this is the podcast that last year we took 2 hours on. We're going to try to be a little bit more reasonable this year and rifle through our bracket preview in one concise hour-long shoe. So this should be exciting. We're not going to go through it as quickly as ESPN did when they announced the brackets. We are going to start in the upper left-hand corner with the number one overall seed, the Tempe Regional, Aaron, Arizona State. I think the first thing we can say is an amazing season by Arizona State. And no matter who was going to get sent to their regional, they were going to be prohibitive favorites because they've only lost one series all year.
Arizona State's good. I mean, you know, the way that Tim Weiser put it on the conference call was they had some debate between who was going to be the number 7 and number 8 overall seeds, and they had some debate here and there. They never even really debated Arizona State at number 1. That was just an easy choice for them.
And amazing, the Pac-10, the number 1 ranked conference in the RPI, which I don't believe I've ever seen before. I don't think that's ever happened in the RPI.
I doubt that it has. I wonder if it's the same way in the official rankings. That comes from Warren Nolan, and it's very close. So I don't know if it's officially that way or not. But certainly it's a great conference. It's a banner year for the Pac-10, and Arizona State dominated that league.
That said, San Diego might be the most dangerous 2-seed on the whole board.
You can make that case. There aren't a lot of teams in the whole country that have the kind of pitching that San Diego has, and Kyle Blair has quietly put together a really good year. Just outstanding junior year, and Sammy Solis is obviously a great number 2, and A.J. Griffin has been a very good number 3. I mean, you've got 3 great arms there. They've got some power arms in the bullpen. They'll swing it okay for you. I mean, it's certainly not, you know, a powerhouse offensive team, but you've got a decent lineup with James Metter in the middle there.
Shortstop healthy?
Zach Walters, he is healthy.
That would seem to be a helpful piece for San Diego.
And even he's not, you know, he's not a great, great shortstop. He's not, you know, Nolan Fontana, for instance.
Sure. I feel like he's more of an offensive factor.
He's more of an offensive. I mean, he's just a good player. But certainly his health is important. I mean, I just think that it's a tough place to go. It's tough to go to Arizona State and win a regional. I mean, that team, they played San Diego earlier this year, and San Diego was just overmatched in 2 games. I think it was a Monday, Tuesday kind of a deal.
I seem to recall that.
And Arizona
correct.
State, you know, just beat the heck out of them. I'm looking at it now, and
I believe that San Diego used at least some of their main guys, like for an inning or two.
Because they didn't play that weekend, if I recall, they'd had some time off, and so they went with Blair and Solis, and you know, they lost 15-0 in the game that they threw both of those guys.
Dope.
And then they lost 11-6. So I mean, it's not like a midweek game where you don't see the team's best pitching and you completely throw it out. I mean, Blair threw 1 inning and gave up 2 runs, and Solis threw 2 innings and gave up 4 runs. So
the other thing to consider here is USD's had better teams than this one.
Yeah.
That have not won regionals. That have not even won games in regionals. So under Coach Rich Hill, let's face it, their reputation is that they are a great regular season team. They can't get it done in the postseason.
Yeah.
Until they get it done in the postseason, they will have that reputation. Fair or unfair, it kind of is what it is, Aaron.
And I think they're good enough this year that if they go into Tempe and win that regional, I won't be shocked. I'll be surprised, but not shocked, because they're good enough to win a regional. There's no question they're good enough to win a regional.
I agree with you. Hawaii and Wisconsin more in the happy-to-be-here category,
but they can
play spoiler. Hawaii has Josh Schlatz, who, you know, depends on which guy you talk to. One guy that I talked to really is not a big Josh Schlatz fan, but other scouts who we have talked to like Josh Schlatz, and he's in our top 200, and he's had great success this year for Hawaii. So
yeah, and you know, and Colton Wong's a real good player. Their second baseman, sophomore,
was the MVP
Team USA
of the
guy.
Tournament?
I'm not sure who
I think
was.
I think he was the hero of the championship game, and they also only had a 10-minute bus ride, Aaron, because the WAC tournament was down there.
Yeah.
So they were already in Arizona, and now they basically changed hotels.
That's it's good for Hawaii for winning the WAC. I don't think they're going to be a factor in this regional. To me, it comes down to Arizona State and San Diego, and right now you just can't pick against the Sun Devils.
And Milwaukee, Wisconsin, I'm just going to say happy to be here. It's a program that was pretty good at the turn of the decade, late 90s, early part of this decade. And now they're back winning that Horizon League.
Very surprised they were able to upset Wright State twice in 2 days. I think Wright State is the most talented team in that league, and you just got to hand it to Milwaukee. You know, they got hot at the right time, and here they are. Kudos.
And honestly, anything can happen when you have those tournament scenarios. Any kind of team can get hot up at the year where Wofford was, what, the eighth or ninth seed in the SoCon and won the tournament.
Right.
So we're picking Arizona State to win this regional, though, are we? I am.
I am as well. I mean, and you know, I like you said, San Diego is dangerous, but you just can't pick against the Sun Devils.
They just
find ways to win, John. They find ways to win.
I think so, too. I think they do against all kinds of teams this year. It's just an incredible season. On to the Fayetteville Regional, with the host being Arkansas, number 2 seed Washington State, number 3 seed Kansas State, number 4 seed Grambling, with the worst record of the entire tournament, 22-30. Aaron, Arkansas lost 10 of its last 15 games. Do you think one of these other teams can knock them off? Can Washington State or Kansas State win this regional? I'm just guessing that Grambling can't.
I don't think Grambling can win this regional.
I agree.
You know, I don't think so. I still think Arkansas is the team to win to beat in this regional. I mean, well, certainly they're the team to beat, and I think they're going to win this regional. They didn't look great this past weekend. They didn't have Zach Cox. They ended up losing Andy Wilkins, even in a collision on a pop-up. Wilkins was playing third base, and he ran into Drew Smiley and bloodied his nose and was a little bit woozy, but he'll be fine. You know, Cox is the one X-factor. I mean, Smiley's going to pitch. He's recovered, it seems like, from that blister. The X-factor...
He did five pretty solid innings at the SEC tournament, right?
He did. The X-factor is Cox. And you know, as of the other day when Arkansas was knocked out in Hoover, Dave Van Horn said he doesn't know if Cox is going to play or not, but I don't know that even, you know, if he's sidelined, I don't know that they necessarily need Cox to win this regional. I mean, I think Washington State's a good club, and Kansas State is scrappy and well-coached, and they've got the Big 10 player, or Big 12 player of the year with Nick Martini and Carter Jurica, a really good shortstop. And, you know, I don't think Kansas State has enough on the mound to win this regional.
Washington State seems like the most, I mean, obviously they're a two seed.
Yeah.
But Washington State, the offense, I know it was Southern Cal, but they bludgeon Southern California.
They can score some
on the weekend,
runs.
So they can score runs. And we know in Chad Arnold and Conley, the left-hander.
Adam Conley,
they have a couple of arms who are Pac-10 weekend guys who are legit. And if you're a legit guy in the Pac-10 on the weekend, you're a legit guy anywhere. So it seems like Washington State is dangerous. I still think that Arkansas just reminds me an awful lot of last year's Arkansas team, which got off to a great start. Stumbled a little bit down the stretch. I know I stopped believing in them, and I should stop believing in Arkansas because they went on to run all the way to the College World Series.
And this year's team, in my mind, is better than last year's team.
Yeah.
I think they're better on the mound. I mean, I just think they're more balanced. All their guys are a little more experienced. I mean, if Cox plays, he's a lot better player than he was last year.
Seems like they have more depth on the mound, too, Aaron. I mean, last year they were like a four-star pitcher team. It seems like they have six guys this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's still not an incredibly deep staff. They've got their guys that they like to go with.
Right.
That's, you know, that's David Horn's philosophy. But yeah, I mean, they've got DJ Baxendale they can roll out there. And, you know, Jeremy Heatley's out there. And you know, certainly Mike Bolsinger's a key. I mean, it's a senior guy. He can be really good at times, and other times not as impressive. But
right. He's a guile. No, he's not a finesse guy, but he has to be a.
He's like 87
touch
to 90 with
right.
a fastball command guy.
That's
pretty good breaking ball.
He's not going to overpower you, but you know he has to throw. He has to throw strikes to win.
Right.
He's just not a guy who. He's not like a guy like a Matt Perk at TCU, who can. He doesn't walk anybody, but if he does, he can just power his way right through it.
I mean, like you said, the Washington State. Yeah, they can certainly be a factor here. I mean, I like the athleticism they have in the middle of their lineup with guys like Derek Jones. They've got a reliable veteran shortstop with Shea Vucinic.
Easy for us to say.
You know, Gary Kuykendall again. I mean, it's you've
the
got
pieces
some good
are
veteran
there.
Pieces.
Pieces are there. Washington State's a team that go when they go on. They played at Arkansas, I believe, in the regular season last year.
They're not afraid to go anywhere. You're right. They did play down there last year.
Right, and they compete when they're on the road. I like them as a sleeper. I'm still picking Arkansas because I think the talent's too good, and I think that Dave Van Horn knows what he's doing. He's been to Omaha how many times now? Four times? Twice with Arkansas, twice with Nebraska?
Sounds right.
He's pretty – I guess it's actually three times. Whichever it is. It's four times at least that he's been to Omaha as taking a team to Omaha. This guy knows what he's doing when it comes to coaching the postseason. So as long as they're moderately healthy, I like Arkansas. But I do think Washington State is a very solid number two seed, very deserving of a number two seed. Definitely deserving of being ranked. I had to stand up for the Cougars in the poll meeting, not to you, but to other staff members.
That's right, that's right.
Keeping the Cougs ranked.
You and I had no question that they should have been
I'm Johnny Cougs, according to you, so I got to stand up for the Cougs. All right, we're moving on to the next regional in Auburn, and I think they are very excited in Auburn to have a regional, Aaron. And they're very excited about the John Pawlowski era, as they should be. They were in the wilderness for most of this decade. They were, they talked about in the old days in Major League Baseball, you had 8 teams per league. You had your first division team and your second division teams. Auburn was a second division team, and they were back in the first division, and they won the West Division in the regular season in the SEC. Didn't play great in the SEC tournament. They didn't hit, but they went into that tournament leading the country in home runs. They're a powerful offensive club. I think it's important for them to be at home, which plays a home run kind
it's
of ballpark.
Offensive park, absolutely.
But they've got Clemson as their 2 seed. They've got Southern Miss, which just won Conference USA tournament and had a nice run, of course, to Omaha last year. And then the 4 seed in Jacksonville State's a team where it's a local club, so they're probably not going to be necessarily intimidated by playing Auburn because, you know, they know those guys and they played those guys. They probably played them in high school. And they know what Auburn's all about. That seems like a dangerous regional for Auburn.
It is a dangerous regional. To me, this is one of the hardest regionals to pick. I think it's wide open. I mean, I like all three of those top seeds as contenders to win this regional. I do think Auburn is, in addition to just being an offensive team, I think they're a pretty good, well-balanced club. I mean,
seems like they're figuring it out on the mound as the year's gone along.
Well, you know, they've got two lefties that they can count on with Corey Luckey and Grant Dayton. They're not going to overpower you, but they're both three-pitch mixed guys who compete. They locate. And they give you a chance to win, especially with that offense.
And Austin Hubbard seems like he really has – he's been this all along, but they have a consistent go-to guy in the bullpen they trust.
That's a guy who, you know, he's slider, 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 but it's an awfully good slider. It's really an out-pitch for him.
He's Kevin Arrico light.
And he can throw it – not only does he bury it a lot, but he can throw it for strikes when he needs to. He's very similar to Kevin Arrico, actually. It's a pretty good comp. Even the velocity is similar.
I do our Alabama draft coverage, and I've read all about Kevin Arrico's slider, slider, slider approach from Nathan Rohde. So.
Yeah.
The thing with Clemson doesn't seem like the greatest matchup for Auburn if those two teams meet because Clemson's very left-handed heavy in their lineup. You know, you do obviously have Kyle Parker. He's the headliner, but Brad Miller's leading their team in hitting. He's a lefty. Jeff Schaus, I think, is second on their team in home runs.
Yeah.
He's a lefty. Epps, who I know is hitting like 220. Isn't he a left-handed hitter?
Yeah.
He does walk a lot. He's still an important part of their offense. So it seems like Auburn, with all those left-handed starters, would be a tough matchup for Clemson. Southern Miss is the X factor here to me. Copeland was great for them in the Conference USA tournament. We all know what McGinnis can do. We all know what B.A. Volmuth can do. Are there enough pieces there? Has Southern Miss gotten its act together enough down the stretch of the season to make a regional run?
I wish I knew. Right now I'm tempted to pick Southern Miss, and I'm probably going to make my pick in a second here. I don't even have decided who I'm going to say when you ask me who I'm going to pick. Because Southern Miss, I do think, can go into that park and swing the bats. You know, you've got B.A. Volmuth, who's had a really nice year. He's hit for some power. Taylor Walker, another veteran middle infield guy. Adam Doliak and Cameron Brundy, those top four. It's a good solid unit
they
there.
They can hit. That was an offensive league this year, Conference USA. There wasn't much pitching in that league.
Yeah. And Dylan Day's been a spark plug in center field as a freshman guy. They really didn't expect to be such a key piece for them, and he's had a really nice year, too. I think they're dangerous. I don't think they're as talented as the other two teams in this regional. It's going to be very fascinating, John. What do you think about this regional?
I was really tempted to pick Clemson until you reminded me about all the left-handed pitching that Auburn has.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pick Auburn. I think Clemson was peaking at the right time. I was thinking with that sweep of Florida State, they got their act together after really stumbling down the regular season. But the more I think about it, the more I just don't think they match up very well with Auburn. So I'm picking the Tigers, but not the Clemson Tigers. You'll hear the War Eagle chant. I'm looking for Auburn here. I know I'm going chalk so far, but I'm picking Auburn.
Yeah, you know, I like Auburn too, and I think they played good defense despite the fact that they made about 5 errors in their last game in Hoover. I think they're a good, well-rounded club. I guess I'm going to take Auburn, too.
It's a difficult regional to pick. I think that there are 3 legitimate teams that can win that regional. You can't say
absolutely,
that for most regionals.
Absolutely.
Here.
You know, and I'll add also, John, that there's going to be a lot of one seeds. I think this year there's going to be a lot of one seeds that win regionals because we talked about it all year, how we thought there was a big separation between the teams at the top and the teams afterwards. And
I agree.
And we talked about how the committee did a good job this year
Most teams were seeded correctly.
Most teams, not all teams, but most teams were seeded correctly. I think all the one seeds are just about right.
And I think that there was a pretty big gap most of the year in our rankings. You got down to about 12, and there was a gap.
Yeah.
And I mean, like Miami. Miami's a one seed, sure. Should they be host? Maybe not. But the one seed, they were out on that borderline, and they lost to all the better teams than them. That's pretty much epitomizes what we talked about all year. They were clearly in that second tier. I think they're one of the better second-tier clubs, but they were not in the first-tier elite clubs this year.
Yeah.
So it doesn't mean they can't get to Omaha, but they're just not an elite club.
Right.
Baseball America podcast, Aaron Fitt and John Manuel here with you. Georgia Tech, the Atlanta Regional, is our next regional, Aaron. The Yellow Jackets, the one seed. Alabama, the two seed. Elon, the three seed. Mercer, congratulations to the Bears. That's their first ever NCAA tournament appearance. Congratulations to the alma mater of Brian Chmielewski, our former intern, and I think Chewy's going to be going home early. I don't think Mercer wins a game, because I think this is also a pretty tough regional, because Elon's a legit three, Aaron, and
yeah.
You know, one of the issues with Elon is right now their bullpen's a little vulnerable. Thomas Girdwood's been getting hit lately, but in Jimmy Reyes, they have a starting pitcher who could take down Alabama, or if they held him, who could take down Georgia Tech. What's your take on Georgia Tech, though, as a one seed? They seem like they're kind of like Miami. They have some good series wins, but in general, they've run into other pretty good teams. They've had some difficulty, it seems like.
Yeah, you know, their resume is not as impressive as the other seven national seeds, for instance. They did win that series against Miami head-to-head, which is nice.
That's a good one.
You know, the second to last weekend of the series, or of the season, rather. But they lost the series at NC State. They lost the series at home against Virginia Tech down the stretch. They did sweep Clemson, you know, so that's a nice series. They lost series at Virginia. I mean, they swept North Carolina. I mean, like Miami, you're saying, they generally took care of business.
They're a little bit better than Miami because they beat Miami head-to-head.
Yes. But on talent, you know, I think Georgia Tech's as good as any team in the country.
Georgia Tech's going to have 10 or 11 guys drafted. I mean, they're going to have double-digit guys drafted. Most of the teams that have had that many guys drafted get to Omaha. You know, Arizona State in 2008 with 14 guys drafted.
Yeah.
A 15th if you want to give them credit for Jason Jarvis, which I don't. But you could do it. It's not beyond the pale. Or you're talking about Fullerton the year before in 2005.
Right.
14 guys drafted. Rice in 2004 when they
had
their
Long Beach team in there somewhere too.
I'm not sure that had 14. I think it's Rice. This last decade it was Rice,
Arizona State,
and Fullerton. Then all had 14 guys drafted.
That's right.
You know, and Long Beach definitely led one year with 10 or 11.
That's right.
So I mean, usually those teams win regionals when you do that. You know. I think Georgia Tech will win this regional.
Me too.
But Alabama's pretty dangerous, Aaron, because Jimmy Nelson right now is pitching as well as anybody in the country.
Well, Alabama's red hot. I mean, they looked great in Hoover. They really did. They swung the bats well. Even Ross Wilson had a couple of hits, which has been – I mean, that's been a rarity.
Even their preseason All-America. He's hitting .250.
The guy's got like five doubles this year.
It's pitiful.
I mean, he's been in a three-hole all year long, slugging less than .400, or he had been last week.
No, you're right. It's amazing. The faith that Mitch Gaspard has shown in him, leaving him there in that three-hole. Same thing with Jake Smith. Mm-hmm. Their senior third baseman has had a dreadful offensive season. But those two guys, they both had a couple dinks and dunks and a couple hits fall for them in Hoover.
Yeah.
Maybe they get going. They've got, obviously, Rutledge is short. And they have, as we keep saying, the two best 5'7", 5'6 players in college baseball, Nathan Kilcrease and Taylor Dugas.
Taylor Dugas is outstanding. I mean, he really is just a spark plug there. You know, Georgia Tech's got a different version of him in Jeff Rowland, a guy who strikes out a whole lot more.
He strikes out an inordinate amount of the time. I listed him, I think, in Georgia. I didn't even write him up because of all the strikeouts. He is, but I mean, their offense has so many different ways to beat you.
Yeah.
But the main way is the home run.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, between Plagman and Burnett.
Matt Skoll.
And Skoll.
Derek Dietrich.
Yeah, exactly.
I just think Georgia Tech is very talented, and I was encouraged by the fact that Brandon Compton pitched well this weekend. I've been saying all year that I think he's a key piece for them.
He did.
You know, they also have, Kevin Jacob is back. It helps that they've got, you know, Mark Pope is kind of an insurance policy on the mound.
He's serving every role.
I do like Jed Bradley a lot. I mean, I just think Georgia Tech is balanced. I think that they're...
I love Jed Bradley. That was not a very good Tommy, I'm sorry.
It's all right. It works. I'll give you plus one Tommy point for that.
All right, thank you.
I just, like I said, I like their talent. I think they're balanced. I think they win this regional, even though Alabama is hot. And, again, wouldn't be shocked if Alabama won this regional. But
I'm just looking around. We'll see as we go on through the brackets. But Jimmy Nelson versus Jimmy Reyes, that's one of my better – that's a personal cheese ball matchup right there.
That is a good
Jimmy
one.
Reyes has suddenly become a personal cheese ball for me. Slid him into the top 200. I'm glad I did that.
Elon, one more thing, John. I mean, that's a good place for them to be. I mean, they do have some power bats there. I mean,
good point.
It's not as much as last year. I think, were they down there last year, too?
Memory does not serve
yeah,
on that one.
Me neither, but I think they'll be overmatched. I mean, Alabama's playing so well right now. I think that comes down to the Tide and the Jackets.
I agree. I think I'd like Elon's chances better if they were facing an ACC team rather than an SEC team in the first round, to be honest with you. Baseball America podcast with John and Aaron. We're rolling on with the Charlottesville Regional. This will be the regional. If you're a Baseball America college baseball fan, get to Charlottesville and meet Aaron Fitt. He will be at the Charlottesville Regional.
No autographs.
Okay. He'll be the one wearing the Oregon State shirt. Aaron, we've got UVA number one in Charlottesville as the number one seed. Ole Miss number two. Eddie Blank's St. John's Red Storm as a three seed. And Virginia Commonwealth, once again, Paul Keyes. Paul Keyes and Ed Blankmeyer are like two of my favorite college baseball coaches. Those guys are zero flash. Sometimes they have prospects, sometimes they don't. Either way, their teams play their butts off, grind it out, and you more often than not, it seems like they wind up overachieving and getting into regionals when we thought James Madison was the team to be in the CAA, and we thought maybe Pitt would be the third Big East team. No, instead it's Eddie Blank. As I talked about on yesterday's podcast, he told you early in the year they had a regional team. He was right.
Yeah.
Are either of those teams capable of winning a regional? It sounds like St. John's might have enough to spring an upset.
I could see St. John's beating Ole Miss. Well,
they're going to have to face Drew Pomeranz
the
in the opener.
That's the problem. Is I imagine they're going to have to see Pomeranz.
I think Mike Bianco already is on the record as saying that he's throwing Pomeranz in the opener.
Which is the right thing to do because St. John's is a good enough team that you really could get burned if you save them. I think that's absolutely the right thing to do. You can't pick them to beat Pomeranz. And they're not going to win a regional at Charlottesville. I think, as you know, I think Virginia's one of the two best teams in the country.
Even if Danny Hulton's not Danny Hulton, at his best, I think Virginia can win this regional. But they're going to have to pitch a little bit better. Their starting pitching's going to have to be a little bit better. This past weekend, or in the ACC tournament, both Bullet Bob Morey and Hulton were not at the top of their games.
That is a key issue for them long term. But I just think in this regional, I think they're a lot better than all these teams. I mean, they're just so talented. They're just so deep. They're so offensive. They're so defensive. I mean,
their athleticism, I think, really plays at home.
Yeah.
And it plays in a bigger ballpark, and that's going to be an issue for the rest of the teams in this regional. Yeah. I think Ole Miss just is not quite athletic enough or really offensive enough. You know, bottom line, they were a .500 team in the SEC, 16-14.
Yep.
Just, you know, they're Drew Pomeranz, and then they're pretty average.
They're on the mound. That's what I really worry about. They've got 1.5 good starters because Aaron Barrett has been up and down. He's been really good at times, other times not so much.
Yeah.
And they haven't had a number three starter all year long, and David Goforth got rocked again in the SEC tournament. You just can't ever count on that guy
for
six good innings. He'll give you 93, 94.
He's like a Georgia Bulldogs 2010 starting pitcher.
Yeah.
He runs it up there and watches it go back out. I'm picking UVA in this region.
Yeah, UVA.
Moving on to the Norman Regional, where the Oklahoma Sooners, really a team that, kind of validated us a little bit, Aaron, because we didn't have a second Big 12 team in the preseason. The first team that we brought in there, I believe, was Oklahoma. It might have been A&M, but A&M, Oklahoma. But Oklahoma was, for the most of the season, the number two team in the Big 12. And at the end of the season, they separated themselves a little bit from the rest of that Big 12 pack. And they finished strong to earn a regional host spot. So kudos to Sonny Galloway and that ball club. And that's a team that has some pitching depth. They seem like they're fairly well set up for regionals, are they not? They have some seniors in their bullpen, the little J.R. Robinson, flexible left-hander guy who's a JUCO transfer from last year, but who's a nice little college pitcher. He started some, he's relieved some. They seem like they've got some athletic ability. You can't mention Oklahoma without talking about Caleb Bushyhead. Just a great name.
Yeah, he's done a great job at shortstop. They really expected Chad Kettler, the freshman, to come in and be the guy at shortstop. I mean, they really thought he was going to start from day one, and he was banged up a little bit, and it didn't happen, and they stuck Bushyhead in there, and he stabilized.
They stuck a Bushyhead in there.
They stuck
awesome.
Bushyhead in there, and he stabilized the whole thing, and you know.
And, of course, they're really known, I guess, for their two big league progeny players. Garrett Bouchel had a tremendous year, and Seitzer.
And Cam Seitzer on the corner infield. Those are their two big guns there in the lineup. You know, and we ranked their recruiting class last year somewhere in the top 25, and their recruiting class has been a huge reason that they've been so good this year. Those two junior college transfers, especially the top of the rotation, you know, Bobby Shore and Zach Neal, you know, those guys have been outstanding. This is an interesting regional because, you know, North Carolina seemed to be playing its best at the end of the season. North Carolina has the best pitcher in this regional with Matt Harvey.
I'll answer the question.
I think North Carolina beats Cal in that opener because of the Harvey factor, especially since he's had 11 days to rest. You know, the workload down the stretch shouldn't be an issue.
The real question is, does North Carolina start Harvey on Friday? I don't think they can win the regional without – I don't think they're going to beat Oklahoma twice, which they probably will have to do if Matt Harvey doesn't do it one at a time. So that's why I'm picking Oklahoma. Mm. North Carolina's starting pitching after Matt Harvey just does not encourage me. Really, any of their pitchers after Matt Harvey,
well,
whether it's Munnelly or a longtime personal cheeseball Patrick Johnson. You know I love Patrick Johnson. And their bullpen, whether it's Greg Holt or Michael Morin or Colin Bates or whoever.
I'll tell you what, Colin Bates pitched lights out against Virginia Tech in his last
great outing.
I think it was 7 shutout innings of relief or 6.
I think it was 6, yep.
If he does that again, then that's you know, that changes everything.
It does.
He has that kind of talent. He has flashed you know, results like that in the course of his career.
That's true.
And their staff is fresh. You know, they haven't, like we said, they've had a week to rest.
That's true.
They did inter squad this past week, but I don't know. I mean, I don't think this is a great North Carolina team. We've talked about it all year long.
Offensively, I think it's a very
offensively challenged
team.
I mean, it's, you know, they've got some scrappers. But they also have some experienced guys who've been to Omaha. Mike Cavazzini's been there 4 times.
The one big thing with North Carolina, actually, is that offensively, they're probably better now than they have at any time all year because Levi Michael got hot late in the year. He's now leading their team in home runs and batting, and I think in RBIs. When Dylan Hazlett was leading the team in home runs, that was a bad sign. He's a nice JUCO transfer. He should not lead the team in home runs. I mean, he should not lead the team in batting. I do think North Carolina will be the regional finalist. I think Cal has the talent, but I just don't see Cal putting things together. They had a great weekend last weekend to beat Oregon. That's a little bit different than beating Oklahoma on the road or beating a 4-time College World Series team like North Carolina. I think North Carolina makes it to the regional final, but I'm picking the Sooners.
I'm going to try to avoid picking all number one seeds here, so I'm going to pick the upset. You know, I'm an ACC homer, everyone knows. Come on.
That's right.
I'll pick the Tar Heels. I mean, I like, and here's why. The key player in this thing is Chris Munnelly. You mentioned his name. He pitched well in the second half of the season. I think he's capable of beating Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma's pretty good. But they did play, you know, in the Big 12 this year, and they proved that they're not the class of the Big 12. I mean, Texas
is Clemson, is Texas, and everybody else.
Yeah, and ACC's a lot better this year. And, you know, UNC, yeah, they went 0-9 against Virginia and Georgia Tech, rather, in Miami. But they were in all those games. I mean, I think they're capable of competing with Oklahoma. And like you said, Chris Munnelly is key. I think he comes up big, and I think North Carolina wins this region.
Honestly, I think North Carolina, the eighth place, they were tied for eighth in the ACC. I think they would have been, at worst, the third best team in the Big 12.
I agree with you.
I think that's fair. We're moving on to the Columbia Regional. I'm still trying to decide whether or not I want to take leave of my children and my wife for a little bit and go to have the garnet carpet rolled out to me. Andrew Kittick, you have to throw something in here to make me come down to Columbia. Maybe like a battle T-shirt for Ray Tanner. But South Carolina is your host, and I expect ridiculous crowds in Columbia as they welcome the Virginia Tech Hokies, the Citadel Bulldogs, and the Bucknell Bison, Aaron. I hope I got all those nicknames right.
How fired up are they going to be? This is their first regional at their new ballpark, because if you recall, they were sent on the road to East Carolina last year.
That's right. I was there. I saw the final.
It's going to be rocking.
It's going to be rocking and rolling, I think, in Columbia. And, to me, Virginia Tech is a giant X factor here.
I would have
been.
They've
never been to regionals.
Yeah.
No, not never, but they haven't been to regionals in a long time.
The last decade.
And then, which Jesse Hahn are you going to get? Are you going to get Jesse Hahn from the beginning of the year, where he was as good as really any college right-hander in the country? Or are we going to get Jesse Hahn end of the year, where, like, for 2 innings he was lights out, and then, you know, it was like the cars on Bugs Bunny cartoons that, like, make all the fumbling noises and think of, at the end. Which Jesse Hahn are we going to see?
I would be very tempted to take Virginia Tech if Hahn was still the Hahn he was at midseason.
I would as well. I would not be tempted. I would take them.
I would, too. because they're the best offensive team in this region.
That's the real issue with South Carolina. It is amazing to me that South Carolina's leading home run hitter and stolen base guy is Whit Merrifield with 12.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're not going to hit home runs, run like Coastal Carolina does. Or if you're not going to run, hit some home runs. They don't do either one. They really have to have some long rallies. And, you know, without Nick Ebert having the big year, you know, Jackie Bradley just can't do it all by himself. They really just don't have, I don't think, enough offensive depth to win the College World Series.
To me,
maybe even to get to Omaha.
To me, it's very telling that South Carolina platoons in the middle of its lineup.
Yeah.
I mean, it platoons, you know, behind the plate with Brady Thomas and Kyle Enders.
That's a great point.
It platoons with Jeffrey Jones and Nick Ebert at first base. I mean, those guys, these are middle-of-the-order hitters. This is not the bottom of your lineup.
It's not your six-hole guy. This is, your 4-5 guy.
And it's worked for them. They've won a lot of games this year. So,
yeah.
But it's unusual. You know, it's like Arizona State platooning at shortstop. You don't see that very often.
But they're platooning with guys who turn down money.
Yeah.
You know, Drew Maggi and Devin Marrero are platooning because they're both really, really good, and they're just trying to make sure they both play short.
Sure.
So this is not like the minor league analogy I think of is Cesar Asturias and Michael Young platooned at shortstop and second base in the Blue Jay system. That's just because they were both developmentally shortstops, you know. So it's not quite the same thing here. I like South Carolina to win this regional only because I don't think Virginia Tech is at full strength. Matt Price is like a box of chocolates. You don't know what you're going to get with him.
He's been pretty good this year.
But he wasn't very good in the ACC tournament, I don't believe.
No.
And Justin Wright's very solid on Friday. So they have three pitchers that you like, but you know, they haven't quite been good enough, I don't think. Han's not quite good enough right now and for me to be confident. But I agree with you. Offensively, they're the best team in this regional.
I wonder if the Citadel is going to throw Asher Wojciechowski in the opener. I think that's a key question.
That is a big question. And Asher, honestly, Citadel's kind of like South Carolina Light.
Yeah.
They're athletic, and they're a good defensive team, so they're probably well-suited for that ballpark. I still think I'm going to pick the Gamecocks, Aaron, but I don't feel terribly good about the Gamecocks' chances.
I like South Carolina, and here's why. They showed up in Hoover with low energy, and, you know, Scout told me they just looked like they didn't want to be there, very low energy. But Tanner, you could tell, was not pleased with that, and they had a bunch of time to go back and work on some things, and you know, he said they were doing two-a-days for the next 3 days.
Ooh.
I mean,
he got their attention.
He's going to get their attention. He's going to make sure they battle this weekend.
That guy knows what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing.
Let's put it that way. Ray Tanner, very good.
They haven't won a regional in a few years, and I think they're due. And I just worry about Virginia Tech the way that they looked. Again, they looked terrible in Chapel Hill that last weekend. They didn't play defense well.
They were just sloppy.
They didn't pitch well.
They were really sloppy.
They looked better this past weekend. You know, they did almost make the ACC title game. They blew that lead late against NC State. They would have gone 3-0 in pool play. But I don't know. I just worry about them on the mound right now. And I just think South Carolina at home, the Tanner factor, I do think South Carolina wins this regional.
I'm with you. It's not necessarily a pick with a ton of conviction, though, for me. Next up and last in today's podcast, we're going to just join this together with the right side of the bracket tomorrow. But we both have too much to do. We will wrap up today's podcast with the Myrtle Beach Regional. Coastal Carolina, the number 4 overall national seed. And I mean, that's such a shock. I mean, I think they deserve to be a top 8 national seed, but not 4. But
I would have had them at 5. I just think it's shocking that they're over UVA.
Agreed. Coastal Carolina is the 1 seed. College of Charleston, kind of Coastal Carolina. The Chanticleer Kryptonite this year is your 2 seed. NC State is your 3 seed. And Stony Brook is your 4 seed. The Seawolves, alma mater of Joe Nathan, I believe.
Is that right?
If memory serves, yes. So they've made their contribution to...
I would have said Tom Kohler and Gary Nowakowski, but...
I believe Joe Nathan is the correct answer.
All right.
I wonder if Joe will be there. He's got some time on his hands, rehabbing from Tommy John. Coming down to Myrtle Beach, he's probably got a timeshare down there. I'm sure he's not hanging out in Minnesota or Stony Brook or on Long Island. But you got Coastal, College Charleston, NC State, Stony Brook. Aaron... Coastal Carolina just hasn't really been challenged since the San Diego series, which they lost. College of Charleston has beaten them in midweek games. They saw NC State in a tournament in February. Can either of those teams knock off the 51-7 Chanticleers?
Nobody's knocking off the Chanticleers until Omaha.
Yeah, you picked the Coastal to go to Omaha, I believe, in the preseason.
Yeah, Coastal's loaded, you know, and beating them in the midweek is not the same as beating them on the weekends when you got to beat Cody Wheeler, you got to beat Anthony Mayo, you know, and Austin Fleet and all those big
Jimmy
guns.
Birmingham.
Jimmy Birmingham out of the pen. I like, you know, the way they mix and match. Brad Hessler, you know, Connolly, the guy that they, the low slot guy that they throw out there, kind of changes the look a little bit.
Their athleticism also just plays very well. That's a big ballpark.
It's going to play very well in that ballpark, especially if you compare them with College of Charleston, which, as usual, relies a lot on the long ball. And they've got four guys with 14 or more homers. I mean, that's not going to play at Myrtle Beach, you know, in that ballpark.
Yeah, I'm not going to guess that Rob Kroll, I think, would have Kroll have 17, the catcher, Rob Kroll.
He finished with 14.
He's probably their best offensive player in terms of future ceiling. Pro ceiling is like 5'9", 5'10". But he's a left-handed hitting catcher who can really hit. And I don't know if he'll get drafted or not. But he's, you know, that, like you said, that those are, what's their ballpark called? Patriots Point.
Yeah.
Not a lot of Patriots Point home runs in there. That's been the history of College Charleston, and nothing wrong with that. They play to their ballpark. You play a lot of games at home, you're going to win a lot of games and go to regionals. I like about Charleston is they do have some pitchers with some velocity. And I like the freshman, Christian Powell, I believe is his name, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, that's right.
I forget the sophomore's name, who was their number two starter, Patterson, I believe.
David Peterson.
David Peterson, he's out of Indiana, I believe. He's out of the Midwest somewhere. Those guys are all good arms. Those guys are all, and with Kevin Decker at the front of the rotation, those are all 89 and 92 guys. They have power arms, power plays in the postseason when hitters are a little bit tired.
Power guy in the pen with Heath Hembree, but a guy who's got a 6.75 ERA.
Yeah, give me Stephen Pryor over Heath Hembree anytime. I mean, like all the closers in the Southeast at these fringy, not fringy schools, but these mid-majors, Hembree, Stephen Pryor, Thomas Girdwood, all these guys have bad numbers.
Big arms with bad numbers.
Yeah, pretty much all of them. But to me, I don't think Coastal Carolina's going to get upset. The one caveat is I do think NC State's a little dangerous. Kyle Wilson is playing, and he's really playing very well at the top of their lineup. He's not as explosive a runner as he was last year when he stole 30 bags, but he's a, you know, a switch hitter. He's hitting about 350, and he's drawn a lot of walks. The Miller lineup, they get streaky, and they know how to win a regional. They won a regional just a couple of years ago with some of these same players. And they've got Alex Sogard pitching very, very well right now. He's a physical lefty. I know he didn't pitch great in the ACC Tournament Championship game. But he's thrown well of late. He's got experience. Jake Buchanan, they could throw Buchanan on Friday. Pitchability, college right-hander. If you could beat Charleston then, I think Sogard, as a lefty with some stuff, could match up with Charleston.
I would have to imagine that State would start Corey Mazzoni in game two. I mean, he's their number two guy.
I think right now it's Sogard.
You think so, really?
I do. He started, I believe, twice in the ACC Tournament. I think Alex Sogard has become kind of their X-factor guy. Plus, he's a fifth-year senior. He's a left-hander against that lineup. You try to mitigate the running game, and you have a guy who was...
They started Mazzoni in their second game.
But how about the first game? I thought their first game was Sogard. Their second game was Mazzoni.
That might just be
Buchanan.
Because it was early in the week, though.
Right. But then he also came back in the championship game. Yeah. And then he pitched very well the week before in a midweek game against High Point.
Regardless, I feel pretty confident that Mazzoni, he's their number two guy. I mean, he's the guy that they would bring back against Coastal.
I don't agree. I think they would go with Sogard.
We'll find out. I think
put on the bet board.
You know, regardless, I mean.
They have three starters.
They're not bad. They're not bad on the mound. I worry about the bullpen besides Grant Sasser.
I just don't think they're athletic enough to hold down that running game and to mitigate Coastal speed. I don't think College Charleston is either. I do think NC State's a dangerous three seed because besides Buchanan and Mazzoni, they have developed Sogard as he's come further away from the shoulder surgery. He gives them an X factor. He can start or he can relieve. Sasser's the only guy they really trust in their bullpen. But now you have Sogard. Again, he can start or he can relieve. We both saw him very good in the regional win against South Carolina a couple
two years ago,
where he was their X factor. So the main thing is I don't think NC State's offensive enough, really, to beat Coastal. Coastal can beat you with speed. They can beat you with power. If you don't have big-time velocity, they do have some slider bat speed college hitters who can mash.
Which is another reason why Mazzoni would be a good guy to throw with them because he's 93-94.
Yeah, but didn't you say – I don't mean to belabor this point, but I mean, like, we just – the High Point game – Sogard was 92-93 from the left side for six innings. So that's what I'm talking about. I mean, he's a power left-handed arm. I would want the left-hander out there to try to mitigate that. And a veteran versus the freshman try to mitigate the running
sophomore.
Game. Sophomore. So I would want the veteran to – I want whoever really is better at handling the running game. That's the main thing. If you're going to beat Charleston, you can't let Rico Noel, who's tied for the national lead in stolen bases, and Scott Woodward just run all over you. So that's – but again, even if you do hold down Coastal speed offensively – their speed plays defensively. That's why I am with you. I think Coastal's an Omaha team. whether they should have been 4 or 5 seed, they are a very complete ball club, and only one team has beaten them this year, and that was San Diego as far as winning a weekend series.
Right.
The other team is – do you think that College of Charleston, having beat them a time or two, helps them, or does that make Coastal even more aware that College of Charleston is dangerous?
Yeah, I think it's the latter. I mean, I think that they're not going to take Charleston lightly, but they know that with their frontline guys, it's a different story.
I think that Coastal is the favorite there. We're both picking Coastal?
Yeah.
We're both picking Coastal Carolina in that regional. We're going to have to come back with the rest of it. And more arguments about Alex Sogard and Corey Mazzoni on the right side of the bracket the next time we record the Baseball America podcast. That should be tomorrow morning, and we'll post that at baseballamerica.com as soon as we're done with it. So thanks for joining us. If you have questions for that, you can always send them in to us at podcast@baseballamerica.com. Aaron, I think it was kind of folly to think that we could do all the regionals in one day.
It was overambitious.
It was overly ambitious, and it just didn't work. But we'll try to come back with the rest of the podcast and the rest of the bracket tomorrow. Until then, so long, everybody.